Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a wonderful worship this morning. Lord, we thank you and we acknowledge you as creator and provider. Lord, we just know that you will take good care of us. Lord, give us the strength and the heart to serve you, serve each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 17 for the most part. We're going to talk about a passage of scripture starting in chapter 16, verse 27. We're going to be talking about the transfiguration today. And so let me just set the scene for you a little bit. We've been doing this, going through Matthew in Sunday school, so there's a set of folks that are sort of tuned in, but the disciples, okay, so Jesus is just about ready to go to Jerusalem, and he's been teaching and preaching, and he had just told the disciples that he's going to have to die. And Peter didn't take that very well. Of course, Peter's my hero because if anybody can mess up like Peter, it's me. And so if Peter is, you know, if he can learn, then I can learn, okay? So Peter's my hero here. He's always got something to say, and whether it hits the mark or misses the mark, usually it misses the mark more than anything else. So Peter rebukes Jesus for saying, no. You can't die. This can't be happening. This is not the Messiah that we've been taught about, right? Because, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, what did they want? They wanted their freedom back, right? They wanted their kingdom back. They wanted the days of David all over again, which they're going to get eventually, but that's what they wanted. They wanted a Messiah that was going to rise up and restore the days of David, okay? They were not prepared, and they didn't fully understand that Messiah was going to first usher in a spiritual kingdom, and that's the kingdom he's talking about. And so when he, being Jesus, first taught that, you know, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised again in 3 days. You know, the end of chapter 16 is Peter, well, Lord, that just can't be. You can't do that. And Jesus gives him a serious rebuke. All right? And so let's end up, we'll start in chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So Jesus is speaking now in the future. And then he says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here among his disciples, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. All right, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And as we continue on, that's what we're going to teach today, and we continue on, Jesus for the second time, or third, for another time, teaches them again, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. Their reaction to that teaching was very different and much more in tune with how God had wanted them to react, I think, even the first time. So the second time, Peter didn't jump up and rebuke Christ. They were just exceedingly sorrowful, according to Scripture. And you see, as we develop through Matthew here, you start to see the disciples slowly begin to understand and to get and see who Messiah really is. Okay? You see, sometimes, you know, it's hard for them to grasp and they fall back to their old teaching. I mean, that's what they were taught from day one, right? They fall back on that, and Jesus again tries to bring them up and get them back on the right path, all right? So, Jesus tells them at the end of chapter 16, after he had rebuked Peter and given them some extra teaching, that, you know, there are some of you guys here that aren't going to die until you see me in my glory. Now, 6 days later or so, he takes three and transfigures. He shows them his glory. And then a few years later, John, one of the ones that saw the transfiguration, is praying one day, and then he's taken up, and then he gets to see in a panoramic sort of view the future and Christ returning in his glory with all of his angels and setting up, you know, the earthly kingdom that they actually thought they were going to get the first time. Okay? So I think verse 28 has been fulfilled. And yeah, I think that verse has been fulfilled with those two events. And so Jesus took the three, Peter, James, and John, and they went up to a mountain apart. So three disciples, Jesus, rest of the disciples, multitude down there at the foot of the mountain. And Jesus, so we're reading out of Matthew. You'll find the same story accounted for in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 9 as well. And you should read all three accounts because they blend together. They give slightly different nuances as to what's going on. Jesus showed, he transfigured, he modified, the inward became the outward, and he showed them his glory. And while he was doing that, and it was during a time of prayer, the disciples look over and then they see and they recognize Moses and Elijah coming and ministering and talking with Jesus, okay? That's verse 3, all right? And so what's significant about Moses and Elijah? I'm like Floyd. Don't let them think I'm just talking to myself here. Yes. So the Old Testament, or what was represented in the Old Testament by Moses, the lawgiver, the law provider, I should say, and Elijah, the prophets, coming and ministering to Jesus, and the disciples are there, and they recognize who these people are, okay? Probably through the conversation, they recognize, oh, that's Moses, and yes, it should go off bleeping bell in their head, you know, oh, that's the lawgiver or the law provider. And Elijah, the top prophet, right? You know, Elijah, the guy that never died, carried off in the, you know, up to heaven in the chariot. And so the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, all rolled into these two people ministering to Jesus in his transfigured state. And then there's Peter, bless his heart. You know, you ever been in one of those situations where, you know, you got to say something, but you don't know what to say? And it's usually better if you just keep your mouth shut to start with, but you feel like you got to say something, right? And so let's read what Peter says. And then answered Peter, this is verse 4, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Wow, that's really got some substance to it, right? What are you going to say, right? What, really, what are you going to say? Well, and Peter, he just can't resist. He's always got something to say. And, oh, it's good for us to be here. Thank you for letting us see this. Thank you for letting us hear this conversation you're having with Moses and Elijah. Okay? But then he goes on. And he said, if thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Okay? So Peter is reaching back to his good Jewish tradition and teaching. I mean, what other framework does he have, right? He doesn't fully understand who Jesus is. He does, but he doesn't. It's slowly sinking in to him and the rest of the disciples. And he goes back and he grabs on to what he knows. And that's what he's been taught. And that's what we do every day, right? We find ourselves in some, you know, situation in life. And what do? We grab a hold of what we know and what we've been taught. And we respond out of that. And that's okay. That's what we do. And our goal should be to further educate ourselves and grow, and so that when God puts us in those positions, we got something better to grab onto. We got him to grab onto, and not just a bunch of teaching in that sense. It becomes real. But Peter, he reaches out, he grabs what he knows. And what does he know? He knows about the Feast of Booths. And that was a feast that was instituted back in Leviticus. For a whole week, they would build it was a representation of the tabernacle, the portable congregation meeting house, okay? And they would live in this little tabernacle for a whole week during this Festival of Booths. So they'd build their little booth, and they would be there, and it was a time for them to not be working and to focus on God and focus on his word and really dwell in his presence. Okay? So Peter finds himself in the very presence of Jesus, transfigured. And so he says, man, let's build some booths. Let's stay here and let's worship. And we'll build one for you and one for you and one for you. I'll build one for John. You know, let's just stay here in your presence. And, you know, typically that's not a bad thing, to want to be in God's presence, to want to walk in God's presence. But Peter is missing. He's missing the mark about what Jesus is trying to accomplish and his teaching and the real significance of the Old Testament coming and ministering to Jesus. He misses that a little bit. Let's go on. Verse 5, and while he yet spoke, and I think the he is referring back to Peter, that before he could actually fully talk through what he wanted to do, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Okay? So where have we heard those words before? Not quite those words, but very similar. Where did we hear those? At his baptism. That's right. And so God the Father, we saw a picture of the Trinity at Jesus' baptism, right? And so God the Father put his stamp of approval on his Son at the baptism. And here we have God the Father kindly telling Peter, listen to what my Son has to say. God puts his stamp of approval on the teachings of Jesus. And what he's really telling Peter is, hear him, understand him, understand why he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be raised again. Understand who the Messiah really is what I think God was trying to communicate to Peter, because he failed to really understand the depth, right? And he failed to understand that he was actually seeing, in a sense, the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of the law ministering to Christ through Moses, the fulfillment of the prophets as Elijah was ministering to Christ. So, in a sense, the Old Testament coming to life and being, in a sense, fulfilled in front of these three disciples, okay? And Peter was like, yeah, let's stay here and let's enjoy that. And maybe, you know, in his mind, that was his mindset. But then the Father comes and says, well, it's a little bit more than that. You need to hear him. Hear him. Understand who he is. Understand what his mission really is here. Okay? And so, verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, that voice and that message, they fell on their face and were very afraid. Yeah, well, I could understand that. I'd probably do the same. I know I'd do the same. I'd probably hightail it down off the mountain, really. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Okay? And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Okay? And so let's look and see what the transfiguration means for them and it means for us today. Okay? So basically it's really simple. Go and read chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. So the beauty of this is through the Holy Spirit, God took those men, and today he takes us all and he educates us and he gives us a new foundation to draw from. Okay? He educates us, he reveals himself to us, and you can read, John got it. He wrote the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus is God, basically, is what he says. He finishes up, well, he didn't finish up, but later on, he makes it a point to say in Jesus' teaching that Jesus said, and John, I think, puts this in there to emphasize just this experience and this point. Jesus taught and said, before Abraham was, I am. Of course, that resulted in people trying to stone him right then and there. But John includes that because John is focused on who Jesus is. So John learned. Did Peter learn? Yes, he did. Go read the letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. He tells us that we're in the world, but not of the world. He tells us about his transfiguration experience, that it wasn't fables and fantasy. It was God revealing who he was or is to him. Yeah, Peter got it. And that just shows you the power of the Holy Spirit working in a life to take a fisherman, let him be at the feet of Jesus, let him see, and then let him write, and let him tell the story of who Jesus is and what he means to Peter himself and what Jesus means to us as the church, right? So that's your homework assignment, is to go read John chapter 1 and the 1 and 2 Peter when you get home. So what did it really teach them as you look at how they responded years later through their writings? One, the Holy Spirit will give us the tools and the teachings, the understanding that we need for the next situation in our lives. So that when we're in the middle of stuff, I love Floyd's message last week. He has been in the middle of a lot of stuff. You have just got to acknowledge that. And when you're in the middle of a lot of stuff, what do you reach down and get? You know, Peter, if he were to do it all over again, I think he would respond in a more appropriate way than he did the first time. And then that should be our goal, to respond in a more appropriate way as God puts us in these situations, right? Reach down, we got to say something, all right? What do we come up with? I think Peter and John and James, they learned that life is a lot bigger than what we can see, right? They saw Jesus for who he is. Wow. Did they have a clue? Did they know? Did they have an inkling before they went up on the mountain about, you know, who is this Messiah guy? Did they really know? No. They found out that things are a lot bigger than what they normally appear to be. What did God the Father say? Listen to him. Listen to my son's teachings. Understand who he is. Boy, that's for us today. We need to understand the power of God. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 1, that's your other homework assignment. Go read that. The power of God unto salvation is the phrase he uses. Okay? And then finally, and I think Peter learned this, in spades. You know, this earthly place, it's not our home. It's not what we should be focused on. Peter says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? And I think he learned that lesson that day and the days following from the Transfiguration, that Jesus was trying to give them the encouragement and the training that they were going to need after his, during his death, his burial, his resurrection, afterwards, day of Pentecost, building of the church body. Jesus was giving them the encouragement, the power, the insight that they were going to need. And Peter realized that, yes, we have that. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit speaking with us as we meditate on his word, the hear him part, and realizing that, yes, where do I put my faith? Where do I put my energies? It's not in this world. We are spiritual beings, regenerated spiritual beings, right? Salvation. We're in the process of sanctification, right? We're trying to learn, put these principles in operation, become more like Jesus on a daily basis. So as Pastor Floyd said, we're all running our race, right? I walk my race. I'm an old man, so I'll just cruise along. But we're all in a race, running our race, and we just rely on the power of God through his Holy Spirit to train and educate and give us what we need every day. And that's part of what the prayer that Jesus prayed. He wasn't just saying, give me my daily bread for the physical body. He was saying, give me my daily bread for my spiritual body as well. Okay? So with that, we'll close. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great day. Amen.